up, Internet, and welcome to episode 57 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Greg Henniger.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Zach Bedford.
And this is going to be a weird episode just because we got to bounce around a lot. It's been a busy, busy week.
I want to give a shout out to my driving buddies out there. What's up, my driving buddies?
Oh.
God. What? Well,
it was...
So Coop has a new intro. He goes, what's up, Internet?
I'm testing it out.
Oh,
I'm beta testing it. Let me know in the comments if you hate my intro, love it, or have any suggestions. I was thinking about trying a different one. I was thinking, I'm trying to remember what it was. It was just like, I think I was just going to be like, oh, hey there, Internet. Just like slightly different introductions every time, but always addressing
Oh, I didn't see you there, Internet.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Oh, hey, Internet. I didn't see you
walk
in.
But I listen to podcasts all the time in the car. Man. So whenever I would listen to Talk Radar and Radio Radar, I would I'd be commuting, so I feel like a lot of people out there are in their cars. So I say, what up, my driving buddies?
It makes sense. I mean, whatever.
It may,
you, that was the
cool.
Most that makes sense, you know, if you're an idiot. But yeah, jumping around, busy week. This week is just fucked.
It's a cluster cuss.
It's a cluster cuss.
Yep.
I'm the only one allowed to curse on the podcast.
True.
We've discussed.
Watch Ask Games Radar for that answer.
Yeah. So let's jump into the top seven. The top seven times everybody hated Valve. This one's been bouncing around in my head for a while because I feel like the mindset for a lot of people is that Valve can do no wrong.
Right.
The things, in my opinion, some of the things that Valve does, if anyone else did the exact same things, people would be just outraged.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if Call of Duty it went on the same path of, like, now it's free to play and you buy hats.
Right.
Like, if they did that, people would be like, oh, Activision's the worst in the world. But since it's Valve, they're like,
3 years running.
And then, or like, if a company did,
that's
like,
EA.
If some company did, like, if Battlefield, like, 2 was amazing, and then 3 was amazing, and then they're like, we're going to release episodic DLC, and they released 2 of the 3 episodes, and one of them ended on a fucking cliffhanger, and they never, ever released the third one. With, like, Half-Life 3 and Half-Life Episode 3, everyone's like, oh, you guys, and it's like, no, seriously, that's like a crazy dick move. Like, they ended it on a cliffhanger. It was episodic.
Yeah.
But there have been times where people have, even despite the fact that everyone coddles Valve, there have been times where people have just said, no, enough is enough, and it's time to be outraged. Mm-hmm. And a majority of those times, that outrage was totally unfounded and ended up sounding like people just whining.
Yeah.
Starting with number 7, Counter-Strike Source sucks compared to 1.6. Were you playing Counter-Strike back in the day?
I was.
Do you remember this whole thing?
I remember the jump and then people like just flat out refusing to play.
Yeah.
That's essentially how it was. It was like everyone was excited for Source because it was like I remember that trailer.
Yeah.
Oh man, that just the guy running in Amazon, I think, and the bullets hitting the water and the splashes.
And like the ragdoll physics.
That
was like brand new stuff back then.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, man, that was.
Yeah.
It looked amazing, and then you played the game, and it felt a little bit.
It felt a little bit different.
Just
different enough that people loathed it.
Yeah, and it wasn't like most people, even the people I knew that hated it, they wouldn't say that it was different in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, after spending 16,000 hours of my life learning how the AK works, the idea that it works a little different, you may as well just like slap me in the face.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I know people who still play. I know people who still play 1.5 because they're like, no, Riot Shield, man.
That's too hardcore.
Screw that.
That is too far.
But yeah, people outraged. But now everyone's just playing Global Offensive, so it doesn't even matter. That outrage back then.
Counter-Strike Go.
There are still people that play 1.6. That's still a thing.
Yeah.
Number 6.
Living in the past.
Yeah. Number 6. Valve is stealing a Warcraft 3 mod with Dota 2.
That one was pretty on the nose.
I mean, they did steal a Warcraft.
I mean, they took the creator of it, Ice Frog, and was like, one of the creators. And it was like, can you just make this for us?
Can you just take this thing on the Warcraft 3 engine and make it on our engine? Which actually, like, is exactly what they did with Team Fortress.
Yeah.
Like, somebody made a Quake game and they're like,
right.
So that, except the Half-Life engine.
Yeah.
Though I will say, I really like the aesthetics of Dota 2. Like, obviously they did really well with it.
I actually kind of hate them.
Really?
Because I feel like there's no... It's clean and nice and totally unoriginal and uninspired.
What? I think it's gorgeous.
I mean, it's Pixar. It's that art. It is. There's. It's just to me. It just is like. It's nice. Like, it's colorful, but still dull. I don't know.
I would respectfully disagree.
That's
with
colorful,
Cooper.
But dull.
I mean, it has a lot of colors, but it's not interesting looking.
I don't know. The music is really nice. The light and dark is really nice. The voiceovers are really nice. I think it's colorful and it's nice and it's clean.
Would you say that it's nice?
I know, right? I hate that all the time.
Is it visceral?
It's fantastic.
Is it good for fans of the original?
Actually, no, I played Dota for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
I was thinking about doing an article today, but I realized nobody would care, but, like, things you forgot about the original Dota, like how it wasn't the hotkeys for spells
were
just...
all over the
place. It was just one of the letters in the word of the spell was, like, red, and that was the button
and
for the
hotkey. And you never were always on your champion, so you had to, like, make your champion its own
You
army
die
so
at least once a game
it.
By mistakenly clicking off of your character, because it was just the limitations of the Warcraft mod.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that... I mean, but people were really upset when this one got announced, because at first it was like, oh, cool, they're making a MOBA. Like, I remember hearing they hired Ice Frog to make a MOBA, and then when they announced, they're like, no, they're essentially just remaking Dota in their engine. Mm. And then I remember for like the first year when they were just remaking it, everyone's like, eventually they're just going to start adding in new stuff. And so far they've added in the ability to monetize hats and access. and I remember somebody wrote up, like, somebody, like, a disgruntled Valve employee wrote, like, this huge, like, anonymous rant about how about Ice Frog is, like, socially inept and, like, is just, like, a terrible person to work with, but Gabe Newell considers him to be, like, the second coming of the game industry, so he lets him do whatever. There was just a lot of weird controversy around that whole thing. But again, I think everyone's just kind of forgotten about it.
Because they're Valve.
Yeah. Number five, which is something that is probably the one that I got the angriest about. Valve promised that if we play indie games, Portal 2 will release early.
What is this story?
I didn't know that this even happened.
So, were you on board?
I was a part of this as well. I was angry, but it came out so like fast after that.
So here's what happened.
No one had enough time. This is probably the shortest amount of anger.
Yeah. So the game was supposed to... my heart was broken. The game was supposed to come out on like...
For half a day.
Yeah. The game was supposed to come out on like a Tuesday, like every other game. Mm-hmm. And Valve did like an augmented reality game where suddenly some indie games had weird Portal references in them. Like this is like a week and a half before the day it was supposed to come out. And... then there were like weird pages popping up, and people realized that all of these weird indie games had things you could do in them to unlock potatoes. Mm-hmm. Because the whole thing was it was the potato sack.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then a website launched and the website said that the more potatoes that were unlocked, and it was an official Valve thing, the earlier Portal 2 would come out. So they were saying.
So buy and play
these indie games, and Portal 2 will release early. Mm-hmm. What people didn't really know. Was that when a game comes out, when most games come out on a Tuesday, they come out at midnight on Tuesday. But Valve was, when they, the PC release specifically of Portal 2 was actually supposed to come out at like, I think like 10 a.m. on Tuesday. Uh-huh. So after all of these people bought their games and played all these indie games, the game released 10 hours early. Which on the East Coast meant that it came out at like 2 a.m. And on the West Coast, it was like 3 or 4 a.m. So after all this hard work, I think most people, myself included, assumed that early meant 5 p.m. the day before. It's a digital game.
At least half a day, because
I remember. I remember. Like being kind of like making fun of my friends, being like, "Yeah, I'm a PC gamer. You guys are gonna have to wait till midnight to go to the store to buy your copy of Portal 2 on console. You're just gonna have to roll into the store at GameStop at midnight. I'm gonna be playing mine the day before." But my friends on consoles who didn't buy a bunch of miscellaneous indie games were playing the game before me.
how much were you paying for these indie games, though? I mean,
it's a few bucks,
a couple bucks.
But
you're still paying a couple bucks.
A couple bucks, and that and then like Valve just. Like later they acknowledged that there were some mistakes made with it, but it's just the idea where it's like If you spend money, you'll get the game early. But early meant in the middle of the night the day before.
I also heard that they didn't even meet the quota of potatoes needed, and they realized they weren't going to, and so they kicked it out like
just
a little bit.
There were like hundreds of thousands of people on their forums buying and playing these games. So I don't know what their goals were.
If they didn't meet the potato quota, would you have been more satisfied with like, oh, you guys just didn't meet the quota, you won't get it really?
I would have been annoyed by the fact like that they were like...
Because you're kind of like going into this deal, right? It's like, oh, we didn't meet the deal. And that's kind of like a satisfactory ending.
There's also the issue where it wasn't very clear... It wasn't very clear how many games needed to be played. People needed to reverse engineer their websites and make other websites to figure out how much time was left. I recently was deleting bookmarks, and I still had a bookmark saved of like the potatoes. Like, when is Portal going to be released? This website figured it out, and it was just heartbreaking because it was like I remember when. Orange Box came out, or before that, when they were going to release the beta for Team Fortress 2, they were like, we're going to release it on like Tuesday, and then it came out like Tuesday at like 11:59 p.m.
Yeah.
And it's like, Valve, when you say a day, like Valve time is another thing where people are like, haha, Valve time. Valve time is Valve being assholes and not being good at their jobs. They're good at their jobs when it comes to making their games, but Valve time is slang for Valve doesn't have their shit together.
Mm. And you're gonna hate Hawaii, by the way.
Why?
Because it's island time is a real thing. And when I was working over there, it took me a long time to figure that out. It's kind of so I'll meet you there at 3. In island time, well, I go there
at
3.
4.
In island time, it's like maybe 5. Like, it's kind of whenever you want to
show. So, in other words, Hawaiians are assholes.
It's
they're
islands.
Inconsiderate assholes.
Apparently, it's an island thing. So, like, the other islands I've been to, not including Hawaii.
So, people who live on islands are inconsiderate.
We have the same thing. We call it Filipino time. Because I grew up around a lot of, like, Asian Filipino people. And
he's Filipino, by the way.
I am Filipino,
so it's not just
I am
random
not.
Birth
I am not
racism.
Being racist.
So it's
right
an
now.
Island time thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but like, I feel like a lot of ethnic minorities have their own kind of time. I've heard. Oh, you're on Vietnamese time. You're on Filipino time. Yeah. You're on. Whatever time.
Even Italian weighing in. Like, dinner's at 5 or 7.
But it's like, I have relatives that always show up late to stuff. And when they show up late to stuff, their reaction is always like, well, it's us. You know that we're always late. And I'm always just like, I'm like, honestly, when you say that, it makes me never want to speak to you again. We're worth waiting for. You know, it's like this conversation, if I had my call, would be our last.
Yeah. It's impossible for me to get my girlfriend to a party like close to the time where it starts. I'm like, look, we're not going to like our relatives' parties. They're not expecting us to come 2 hours late. Let's arrive, you know, half an hour late. You know, that's fine. We'll be fashionably late.
Yeah. I hated that in college. But, that's why it wasn't cool. My party started at 10 and I went at 10 and there was nobody there.
I'm still that guy.
Why are you here?
I'm still that guy. I'm still that guy to the point where I have some friends that do a weekly board game night. Or like a bi-weekly board game night, and they'll send an email out that's like, be there at 6, and I show up at like 6:10, and no one shows up for 40 minutes. Like, I'm always there, I'm like, cool, let's play board games, and they're like, well, we haven't really set up, and it's like, the email, or like, they'll be like, I guess, let's just hang out on the couch for a while, and it's like, I'm here late.
So Valve time.
Valve time is Valve just being your inconsiderate uncle.
Yep.
You're inconsiderate Filipino.
Inconsiderate Filipino. That's fine.
Lorenzo signs off on that.
That's the name of this episode. Valve is your inconsiderate Filipino uncle.
But strangely, the next point is the exact opposite of Valve time, where Left 4 Dead 2 came out too close to Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So number four.
This was such a strange.
Yeah. So Valve was known for that. Well, I understand part of it. So Valve released Left 4 Dead in November.
Mm-hmm.
Leading up to the release, Valve had interviews, and Chet Falasek, I think that's the name of the
Chet.
Yeah, he was one of the producers, and he and Valve in general was just talking like, yeah, you know us, we're Valve. We're going to have new characters after launch, new campaigns after launch, new modes after launch. We have a huge post-release plan for this game. A, all of those cost money on consoles. Out of their hands, suckers. But whatever. B, 4 months after release, it was E3.
Yeah.
So a little, 7 months, 8 months after release, they announced that Left 4 Dead 2 was coming, and all those things that you pretty much expected that were going to be free DLC are going to be $60 in that box.
Yep.
And it's coming out in, 3 months. People were livid.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
There was a group on Steam, ironically, with 40,000 members boycotting the game.
Yeah.
Did you see what that group looked like the day the game came
every
out?
Every person was either playing
every
it.
Single
I remember,
person was
not
playing
every person was either playing yeah. it or Modern Warfare 2,
yeah.
which was another game that everyone was boycotting on Steam because it didn't have dedicated servers. But they eventually released some new campaign DLC, mm-hmm. and the mod support was good. I remember the biggest complaint people had, which I thought was the stupidest thing in the world, was you're going to fragment the community. And it's like, this isn't a multiplayer competitive shooter where, Call of Duty every year fragments its community. That's
yeah.
sort of its thing. Mm-hmm. This is a single-player, four-player co-op game, or a four-player co-op game. Just find three friends and play, throw it in and play No Hope Hospital if you really want to play through the
yeah.
original.
See, I only played Left 4 Dead 2, so I don't even know Left 4 Dead 1. Is Left 4 Dead 2 a lot better?
I'll say that Left 4 Dead 2 has as many improvements as you could possibly expect from a sequel that was in development for 2 or 3 years,
yeah.
but it came out 1 year later. I would say Gears of War 2, I think, had a lot of changes from the original. I'd say this has many changes from 1 to 2 as that did.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It also had 5 campaigns where the original had 4, mm-hmm. had over double the weapons, had 6 modes to the original's 2 or 3.
Added yeah. 3 or 4 enemies to the zombie.
New zombie types.
Yeah.
And
zombie types.
And the levels they added were the downpour one.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So many cool levels. So they did such a good job with it. And yeah, that was one that people kind of blew out of proportion.
Too soon.
Number 3, Half-Life 2's first 2 episodes took too long to come out. So Half-Life 2 came out, and Valve announced that their DLC strategy was going to be essentially full-blown expansions.
Mm-hmm.
But this was when Telltale Games was still doing this with Sam and Max at this time.
Yes.
So people were, and they were like, and a lot of companies were sort of looking at that like that's the future of the industry.
Sure.
And I remember them saying they're like that. Whenever I'd interview anybody in that era who was even thinking about episodic, they'd be like, we have no idea how Telltale does it. And this is Telltale before anyone gave a shit about Telltale.
Yeah.
This is pre-Walking Dead. This is when I was a Telltale apologist.
Too.
Instead of a true fan, I just apologized for everything and said that you really got to play Sam and Max and Bone. But
Bone?
Episode 1, they made a Bone game based on the comic.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to go find that because I love the Bone
yeah.
comic.
Yeah, no, the game's supposed to be awesome.
You would.
Bone.
You would love the Bone.
So episode 1 came out a year and a half after the original game, which I think was kind of okay because it was that's the first one. You kind of expected the second one to happen sooner.
Yeah.
And then another year and a half went mm-hmm. by, and it's these are 5 hours long, you guys.
Yeah.
There's no, why did you commit to making episodic things if you can't actually do it? And then we're going to jump right into number 2 on this list, which is Half-Life 2 Episode 3 still hasn't come out yet.
Right. It's trademarked now.
What could you possibly...
Yeah.
What... In your mind, you are Valve. You
right.
are the entity that is Valve.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is going on that you haven't released something for Half-Life 2 Episode 3?
And anytime they're going to announce anything, this whole Steam... in your living room announcement,
mm-hmm. yeah.
three announcements during the week. I just remember all my friends talking about they're gonna announce Half-Life.
Well, yeah, I mean the thing everyone was saying was the first day is the control, the first day is the console, this next day is the controller, the third day is the launch
the
title,
killer app.
The killer app. Also,
yeah.
it's the third day.
Yeah.
That's a meme I am a fan of.
Yeah,
anytime
yeah.
anybody, it's like so. Valve said they're gonna make an announcement on the 11th. 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. That's not how this works. But yeah, so what? Greg.
The 11th? That's 2.
Dude, I know. That's the joke.
It took me a while.
So, you're Valve.
I'm Valve.
what situation could possibly be happening at Valve headquarters where you wouldn't have acknowledged the existence of Half-Life 2 Episode 3 in 2 years?
We have too much money.
You just, yeah. And you just don't give a shit?
I'm swimming in money, and
your computer is on the other side of the room, yeah. And there's a wall of money in the way.
No motivation.
They're just like, we're making so much money off
this. You think there's just no motivation?
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of other stuff in development. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure they've been working on the SteamOS thing for a long-ass time. Hopefully Source 2 is in there.
You'd think that SteamOS and Source 2, this microphone keeps falling, would be separate teams than gameplay designers.
Well, they do have that flat
hierarchy.
They've
got the...
Like, whoever wants to work on a thing can do that.
But why wouldn't every developer be like, I want to work on Half-Life 3?
Battlefront. Because right now it's perfect.
Star Wars Battlefront.
Well, because, like, right now there's nothing wrong with it. It's, like, the perfect game that's just unreachable. So I feel like if I was developing it, I'd be like, everything I do is not perfect.
See, I'd say yes to Half-Life 3, not to Episode 3. We're expecting a 4-hour finale to a story that ended with a ridiculous cliffhanger and a very clear direction of the next step. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spoil the cliffhanger for the 7 people who haven't played it yet, but it just ends with a scene where they're like, we have to go to that boat and go onto that boat and take something from it. Hmm. That's a fucking game. Just release it.
Maybe
to
they're
end.
Afraid of water and snow.
You don't have to go into the water.
Valve doesn't know
Valve
how to do water and snow.
Okay.
I don't know. It just drives me crazy that they haven't. Like, it's just kind of, again, Valve is really inconsiderate with this one. Yeah. Like, honestly, at this point, at one point, the Penny Arcade guys didn't think that they were going to ever end their trilogy of games. So they're like, all right, we're just gonna write it. We're going to release it as a written thing. Here's the end of that story. Valve has done a bunch of comics. At this point, just here's the comic that ends that. Just deal with it. Just deal.
Just give us closure.
Yeah, just closure. Major characters have been messed with. And it's
like
time.
It's like what people are feeling when they read the what's that TV show that's awesome now?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. Yeah, like that author. It's been 7 years since he wrote the last book.
That is
or something
not
like
even
that?
Remotely close to true.
What?
I think it's been like 3. Yeah.
I think it's longer than that.
We're going to check this. We don't want to be part of the corrections next time. Hold on.
I screwed
corrections.
Up.
I'm going to look it up. Spoil a new episode for me.
Yeah. He's not dead.
This is not dead.
No, he's not dead.
Yeah, no, Wheel of Time guy is dead. I'm
People
sorry.
Are afraid that the.
George R.R. Martin, is attending Comic Cons and.
People are afraid he's going to die and not be able to finish the story.
I remember reading. Because he's like 150 years old. But I remember reading that he's like. I remember reading some headline where like he's developing another TV show totally unrelated with HBO, and the headline was like George R.R. Martin doing everything in his power not to work on Game of Thrones. He released the last book in 2011.
Wow.
So
the swords
2 years.
What was the one before that?
You're not
going to
win this
break. No, I haven't read any of them. I have friends that are like way into them. And
2005. That was a long.
So that was a 6-year gap.
Yes,
but and then 2011.
Yes.
So people are afraid that it's going to be another 6 years.
He's
going to
die,
gap.
Like tomorrow.
And there are like he said, there's like 2 or 3 more books that he's going to write.
I think it's
to
only
finish out the
no.
series.
I think it's. Like
it's not just one more book.
How many books?
It's
are there
at least
now?
2 more books.
Okay, I
think
he's
going to write.
I know there aren't that many left. I know there's a good Paul and Storm song they did a music video for, just called George R. The chorus is George R. R. Martin, please write and write faster. You're not getting any younger, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just about how like you're going to die, and the HBO show is going to catch up with you. Just write the fucking books.
What I heard, apparently, this is the biggest tangent of all time, but that he has met with the showrunners of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he's confirmed that.
And told them how it ends.
Yeah.
In case he dies.
Oh, wow.
How self-aware do you have to be like, yo.
He's like, I'm pretty old. I'm pretty overweight.
Real old. Yeah. He looks exactly like Santa Claus.
He does.
Like, there's no, like, he might as well be Santa. I mean, with what he does, he literally might as well be Santa.
Looks like Santa on vacation with his golf hat.
Yes.
So Half-Life 3.
Half-Life 3, Game of Thrones, A Song of Ice and Tears. Number 1 on the list of the top 7 times everybody hated Valve. Steam's release.
Oh, Steam.
So Steam came out 2001? Wow.
Was that long ago?
2021.
Early 2000s, Steam came out, mainly existing at that point as a glorified patcher Counter-Strike. Essentially what it was.
Frustrate everybody.
Because when you forget, you being internet, my internet friends, my driving buddies.
What's up, driving buddies?
that back in late 1990s, when you had a game like Counter-Strike and an update was released, that meant going to their website, downloading it, and hoping it didn't just destroy your game. It also meant you'd log in and be like, why can't I log on to half the servers? What's going on? Oh, there was a patch. It was hell.
Yeah.
It was I remember. Did you play Tribes 2?
Yeah.
Remember installing Tribes 2? Like in like late 90s or like mid 2000s?
Not really.
Because there were like 12 patches you had to install in order.
In order? Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh,
and it was like, I had friends that were like, man, I'd really like to play Tribes 2. It's just not an option right now. I don't have 6 hours of downloading patches.
Yeah, and you're running on like 56K modem.
Oh, man, it was wonderful. But yeah, so they made it to do that and to sell their games eventually. And to what Steam is now was not obvious when Steam launched.
No.
So it came out.
It was so clunky and ran so slow.
Ran slow, crashed all the time, ugly.
Yeah.
Ugly as hell. Ugly. And it was essentially the most draconian DRM that had ever existed, probably until this day.
Yeah.
So mix that in with the fact that it crashed all the time, and you're looking at just flat out not being able to play Counter-Strike a lot.
Yeah, you would originally just, double-click the icon on your desktop, you're in the game.
Yeah.
But now you have to launch a program that takes forever to boot up.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly there's an update. You wait through that. And so you're looking at, maybe 15 minutes already.
Yeah.
And then you launch Counter-Strike through Steam, which takes even longer than it ever has. And so you're probably like 20 minutes before you're in the game. And then you might get booted or have it fully disconnect.
Yeah, it was a rough period. And I mean, former Games Radar editor Brian Kim still holds a grudge.
He does.
He was the only person I could talk to Valve with about in terms of just random hatred for stuff. Because if given the option.
Brian was a good guy for that, too.
Oh, yeah. But if given the option, he would just he'd reach over to his arm where the Band-Aid is and just pinch and reopen literally reopen a wound and be like, oh, yeah, the DRM, Steam, 2002, and just get all angry about it. And there are still people, because there was what was the name? It was the World, the WNO or something like that. It was the World, their matchmaking server was really good, and they essentially gutted it and remade it to make Steam. And there are still people that are like, man, that old one was so much better. maybe World Player Net or something like that. They used
WPN.
Net. Yeah, that sounds right. That's not right.
WNBA.
It was definitely the WNBA.
Maybe it's that.
But yeah, people were angry, but now Steam is the savior of PC gaming.
And everyone's forgotten.
Everyone's forgotten, except Brian Kim.
Never
forget. To reignite that rage.
Yes, we want. He's going to be listening to this, just punching holes in walls. So that's it for the top seven times everyone hated Valve. You can check back every week on Games Radar for another top seven, and I'm really excited for next week's. Zach, you read it too, without spoiling things. It's a good top seven, right?
Oh, next it's week. Great. Oh my
so
God.
Fun.
Love it.
It's Pokemon themed because Pokemon review hit today.
It was stuff that even I didn't know as a Pokemon fanatic.
Yeah, oh, it's so good. You're gonna love it. So stay tuned. We're gonna jump around. Segment two might be hosted by a different person. Segment three might. We have no idea. Today's a weird day, but we'll be back. And someone will be back.
Someone will be here.
See you, driving buddies.
Second segment, we're moving on to news. I'm Tom Agrino, actually.
This is almost a full change of cast.
Away on vacation. Yeah. Oh,
Lorenzo
really?
Is the only.
I was in here.
Lorenzo and I were the only ones.
The common threats.
Was the only one who Lucas was able to fend off the outbreak of new blood. So, Lucas, were you here as well?
No.
No, you weren't. So you're
I'm
here
a first timer.
Welcome to the show.
Thank
Welcome
you.
To the show.
Thank you.
This is a podcast that we do every Friday. Greg Henniger.
Yeah.
You.
I've already been here first and third segments.
You're not normally here in the second segment.
Welcome back
to
Guest of Honor, Tom.
Nice to be here.
I was waiting. I was saving the best for last. Henry Gilbert.
Hi everyone! I'm back. I'm back from the exotic Orient. I'm sorry. If anyone's offended by that term,
I don't think. I think you could say Orient, so long as you're not talking about a person.
It's whore.
Whore thereof.
Whore of.
Were you
the
whore of the Orient?
So let me say that again. So long as you're not talking about a person, it's totally fine to say Orient, like an Oriental rug.
You know, I've known
the Orient.
I've known Asian people who get offended by the term Oriental, and then I've known others who are just like, who cares?
Right.
I don't care.
My favorite
Pan-Asian.
Pan-Asia?
I don't know. My favorite term is Oriental flavored ramen.
Oh, which is totally fine.
Yeah,
does
it taste like Orientals? Who knows?
Who knows?
Well, yeah, when we drove through Chinatown yesterday, me and Lucas to get
my
back,
my mind went to a very awful place. I think Greg's went there as well.
Yeah, we just shared a look.
We had a moment
when Lucas and I drove back to work yesterday, like through Chinatown in San Francisco, and I saw like three places that had Orient on their signs. I was like, that feels so outdated. Like when my mom says, like, oh, it was an Oriental person, I look at her like she just said, like, a racial slur from the...
But it's not really a racial... Like,
I know. It just feels so, like, outdated.
It's just an ignorance thing. It's like a,
I mean, it almost feels like a... You just said something so goofy and backward-ass that I'm just going to, like, giggle. Like, it's not... And maybe this is just me being a white dude with blue eyes and
go
blonde
on.
Hair.
Oh, the Aryan race.
The Aryan in me. But it's like, it doesn't carry the same insulting kind of connotations as other racial slurs.
Well, yeah, we should ask the Orientals in the room. Okay?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of racial discussion on this podcast.
There has been.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, the man just came from Japan.
It was awesome. Tokyo's
part
best.
Orient now.
I love Tokyo. And... all its food and toys. And I spent a lot of money on both. And and TGS was kind of depressing, honestly.
Like, I feel like we should just give you a soapbox for the next, 20 minutes.
No, I can't talk for that long.
We'll
but
see.
Yeah,
Let's
just
see.
Like,
what's
well,
the
right.
deal with TGS?
So TGS, I actually wrote a story before going to Japan saying, like, this could be the TGS that finally turns it around. And it was the opposite. because, like, this could have been the year that, like, Final Fantasy, like, there are next gen games from Japanese developers that are more promising than what I've seen from Japanese games for
like
the last
Final
10 years.
Final Fantasy 15, FF15, Kingdom Hearts ish,
Kingdom Hearts 3, Metal Gear 5, yep. Psycho Break.
Right.
It's Evil Within here. Yeah. Sorry, it had up signs for Psycho Break everywhere.
The man there. Is jet lagged. Leave him alone.
But anyway, they have all those games, and none of them were there. Like, they weren't. Like, they didn't even have a new trailer for them, which I was just so upset by. Instead, it was just it had the thing I noticed over the last like two TGSs, which is just more and more insular. Like, we're only making games for the Japanese now. It used to be, I think what it always was Japan was always making games just for Japan. But once upon a time, America was into it too. And now America isn't into it as much, but they're still just making the games for Japan. Like, Final Fantasy, Dragon Quest, like, those were games made for the Japanese audience first, but the West embraced them. Mm-hmm. But now, like, the West has kind of moved past that. Like, that is how I feel. But they just weren't ready for next gen at this thing. It was just all a bunch of, like, PS3 games, really. Like,
did you see any next-gen games on there?
Yeah, only because Microsoft and Sony had booths. Like, they were the only one. And then, like, Sony also is, like, to show how little Japan cares about the next generation. Like, Sony, a Japanese company that has always released the PlayStation systems first in Japan, they are launching the PS4 in February in Japan.
Wow.
4 months behind America and Europe, but also behind Korea,
like Thailand. Really? Like there was
the Orient.
They had a they had a Pan Asian like summit for all the other for the other Asian countries that
did
are getting
just,
the system.
Did they make the just like the decision that the least amount of units were going to sell in Japan? So we're just going to
Their reasoning for it was there was not going to be any Japanese developed games ready for launch. So,
I see.
If they wait till February, apparently they'll have Yakuza Ishin ready, and Yakuza games are monster hits there. Like right. no one.
It could also be, and this is just complete and utter speculation, but it's like they might have been caught in this awkward spot where they know that Japan isn't going to be as big of a market as like the U.S. or Europe or something,
mm-hmm.
but it's still big enough that they're if they allotted like they can't hit the production scale that they needed to. So it's like we have not enough to really launch in Japan to meet that need, but we still have enough to kind of reach a different market. So we're just going to go to Korea.
So why wait? Yeah, I can see that. Why waste it on Japan when...
And well, like we don't want to launch it and then it be in super short supply and have like the fallout from that. Well, I don't know.
And if you look at like Japanese like sales stats, like hard... Games on the PS3 like do sell pretty well, and the occasional Wii U game sells pretty well. But like hardware console sales like are pretty small. Like 3DS portables, 3DS, and to a lesser degree the Vita, like those sell good. Like it's so I wonder if Sony is just thinking like, is anybody gonna buy any consoles anymore in Japan? I will. So the big next gen games that were there was Deep Down, the Capcom's game, which is like going to be free to play. Which the second I heard that news, I was like,
that turned so many people off.
I don't even know what to expect from that now. It looked like just a normal.
Though then
RPG,
I found out recently we tried to at Gaber Magazine they were trying to like plan their preview coverage from TGS, and they were like, oh, so you saw Deep Down. Do you know where I could get some assets for Deep Down? I was like, no, I don't know where there are official screens for it. And apparently, Capcom of America is of the opinion that they haven't officially announced it in America yet.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Seemingly so, because they weren't. They're like, oh, we don't have any assets because...
Wasn't it at E3?
It was revealed in February in America to Americans at the PS4 reveal.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It was revealed in America, but apparently they're not sure. That was silly.
They have amnesia.
And I played Crimson Dragon and Titanfall there. That was the first time I played Titanfall, which was it was cool.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Had a good time.
Yeah,
it was high.
Yeah.
Are you a shooter guy though?
No, I totally see the appeal of it, though I just sucked at it. Okay.
Like it's going to be a little difficult because you're just seem like you're going all over the place.
Well, I'm used to Call of Duty pointing the gun for me a little bit, right?
Doesn't I have the gun pointed it for me. I need that too. Like
it has some lock on. Yeah.
Like, well, with the
play GTA
with the sticks, it's almost essential now. Like just. Compared to mouse and keyboard, that's so precise, and you need that little bit of a
But I mean, the way the scale of the game worked, like switching from your Titan to human, was like really awesome. Like they totally got it. Like I think it could be a Call of Duty killer, but I'm just not into that.
It's gonna sell a shizload of Xboxes.
Shiz. Yeah.
Also, GTA
is that coming out this year? I thought it was next year.
Next year is what they're saying.
And GTA 5 actually had like a pretty big line there to play. Well, I found out that the game is apparently the turnaround in the past hadn't been so quick there, but this year it's coming out like next month in Japan instead of like 6 months later. So
we'll be able to re-promote all the GTA content we've had on the site for our
GeoTarget Japan.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and I was on Tokyo TV. I was on a Japanese TV show.
What? Doing what?
Yeah. Well, so Cooper and I walked around Shibuya. Like we met up at the Hachiko statue, the famous Hachiko statue there at the station.
I was always told his name was Hachi.
Hachi?
What's Hachiko?
Hachiko. Hachiko.
I'm wrong then.
You are wrong.
Go on.
So anyway, at Hachiko, we just met up like, hey, cool. Well, so let's walk away. And then this this woman, like, in fluent English, like, said, like, oh, hey, would you talk to us about ninjas for our TV show?
Can I?
Ninjas yeah. in Japan?
Yes. What era?
Well, so it turned out it was, like, a TV, this morning news show where they, because Wolverine had just come out there and ninjas are in that, man. The question of it was, like, do Westerners think ninjas are real? So they asked me, like, do you think ninjas are real? And then my response to that was, like, well, do I think someone could be studying someone anywhere in Japan? One person could be studying ninjutsu? Yes, I do think that's true. And they're like, all right, well, do you think you'd see him in Tokyo? Nah, not really.
They're ninjas, after
yeah.
all.
Yeah, they kind of...
I can't see them.
There's well, one would, right over there.
They would really stand out. And I also told them that, like, Batman's basically a ninja, and that Americans... That I agree with them that I think Americans care more about ninjas than Japanese people do.
I mean, it sounds like they should have given you your own show.
Yeah.
Well, so
can
then when it aired...
Can we get a clip of this?
I want to watch this.
Well, so then when it aired, I watched it. It was, like, a 9-minute segment, but they only used... Like, I'm in... 20 seconds.
That's pretty good, though.
Chunk. What time period?
Or
what time
this was set. It was at 7:20 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So
my one solitary network TV was at also 7:20 on a Sunday.
Yeah, I don't want. See, that's the thing. I don't want. When I'm there, I don't watch Japanese TV because, like, it sucks. I'm just gonna say that right now. Like, it's everything I hate about American TV. Like, it's all shitty game shows, reality shows. Or, like, chat shows. That's all it is. Like, they're so...
Some of the shitty game shows are super
They're more entertaining than American
ones, I'd say. But in the best possible sense.
There was a good one where it was, like, this... these people were answering a trivia game off of screens that were, like, in the floor. And they had to, like, lean down and look at the floor and answer questions as fast as possible because they were at, like, the edge of this wall. And then if they didn't answer the question in time, this section of the wall would shoot out and, like, push them off the edge into, like, seemingly nothingness. Like, they didn't show the people landing safely. Yeah,
it's horrifying. Yeah. That guy just is in the center of the world now.
Yeah. Or also they had one where, like, they had to, like, run down a hallway as the walls close together and it just, like, smash on this guy.
Oh my gosh.
And it looked kind of painful, like he was, like, trapped, like, but anyway. So yeah, that was Tokyo. I brought back some gifts for everybody. Yep. You guys got to sample Pepsi flavored potato chips.
They were good.
Yeah.
I don't know why I just said they were good. They were terrible. Yeah. They tasted like chemical.
Very odd.
They tasted like they were carbonated, which is a really strange thing to taste out of, like, a chip.
A solid. Yeah.
Thomas, our video guy, is one of the few, I think, that actually just liked them.
Yeah.
Well, did you like them?
No. I don't like soda at all.
Yeah.
But,
good point. And the Kit Kats were...
The Kit Kats are great. They're always great.
I can't...
Pumpkin hated them.
You didn't like them?
You hated them.
I hated them. Well,
what?
I hated
pumpkin ones?
I didn't try the pumpkin one, but I very much disliked the wasabi one, the apple one.
The wasabi one was...
The strawberry one.
The apple one tasted disgusting.
And then the Unchi-kun one.
The
I think that was all
sweet potato?
Unchi-kun?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody?
The
pile of poop.
The purple yam.
Purple yam was how it was labeled in English when we bought them. But
those are the best.
There's a Digimon that looks like a purple pile of poop. I'm just now realizing. Yeah. Looks exactly like what was on
the
cover
of
that.
That's a thing in Japan.
Yeah, apparently.
Purple poops.
But I just love the snacks in Japan. Like, they're the best snacks.
They do.
Like,
and the vending machines.
Vending machines everywhere. Like, because people there aren't assholes who would just, like, smash the vending. Like, the second they see one, they're like, yeah, fuck that vending machine. Smash.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely Digimon that looks exactly like that.
Poop culture.
Oh, yeah.
Poop culture.
They love that poop guy.
There's, like, a store for that.
Well, that poop dude is one of those is from, like, the comic Dr. Slump, I remember. But,
poop culture.
Though what's big now is this character, I believe he's called Nameko, who first appeared in Touch Detective, who is a mushroom that looks like a penis. And
Nameko?
Well, I'd never...
He is huge.
I never thought he looked phallic.
I typed in Nameko and it brought me up a picture of a really hot girl. So
it's called Safe for Work.
It's called Pass the Laptop.
Well, search...
yeah.
Well, search Touch...
Accurate.
Look up Touch Detective Mushroom. Search that.
Touch
I forget his name.
Mushroom.
Touch...
Penis.
Penis Detective.
Mushroom. I always thought that character looked like
I have a
penis.
A toy. Just mix those words around and it could get real dirty.
Yeah, he had a ton of toys last year, and this year he was only more popular. Like,
doesn't Sophia have a mug? That's the
She has the mug. Yeah. Well, because he was like the mascot of Touch Detective, a game no one cared about from Atlus when it came out in 2004, but then it got put on iOS devices, and in Japan, like, everybody fell in love with him. Like,
Fungi?
Fungi, yeah.
Fungi.
Fungi. Oh, yeah, I think it's fungi here.
Yeah, it's fungi.
But there it's like Nameko or Tarneko or something.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
I have the Egyptian prince version of him.
And I asked people there, like, so do people like him because he looks like a dick? Like, is that, like, I mean, are they in on the joke? Because I think there's a problem people have when they see, like, here, and I was guilty of this too. When you see a funny Japanese commercial, you just want to, you are prone to say, like, that's so crazy. Japan is so nuts. Like, yeah. No, they're doing it as a joke too. They know it's a joke and it's silly.
They just have a very bizarre sense of humor.
Yeah, but I think some people sometimes think they're going, like, oh, this is normal. Like, we love this stuff. Like, no, it's not normal. It's so the same with that guy. Like, I wonder if they're in on the joke of, like,
hey,
that it's,
there's no way they're not.
Yeah, that people are partially buying it because he looks naughty.
Naughty.
They like the naughty.
Naughty fungi.
Well, geez, I mean, you go to these stores, like, these stores in Akihabara that I just want to buy toys at or manga, and you just turn the corner, it's like, ass. Tits, like, right in your face, like, just pouring everywhere.
And then when you wade through all those peoples, there's just really perverted merchandise, too.
Yeah. I just don't know how
to... It's a market.
Oh,
it's
see.
A market.
Sorry.
Yeah, and Monster Hunter 4 was everywhere, man.
Yeah.
Because it had just come out.
You were saying when you street pass with people, like, that's... All you see is
I would say 60% of my street passes were with people playing Monster Hunter 4.
Wow.
And I got quite a lot of them, too.
Did you get all the puzzle pieces, Henry?
I came to the country with all the puzzle pieces. I didn't need no puzzle pieces from Tokyo.
I shouldn't have even asked.
That was good.
All right, so anyway, yeah, Tokyo.
That
was what happened.
I mean, there's news, but I feel like it can't follow that act. We can hit a few of the news items. How about this one? Last Guardian being re-engineered at Sony Japan. This kind of fits right in with...
Back to you, Henry.
Well, I've gone to 3 TGSs now, and in each of them, my thought beforehand was like, all right, Last Guardian will be there. I finally get to play it, and it's never there. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it? As far as I'm concerned, it does not exist.
Outside of a couple screenshots.
Yeah, it's it. Like, so they say, one of the last quotes they had on it was saying it was on hiatus, but that was said by Shuhei Yoshida, who also said
a known liar.
No, but he's the president.
Liar of the Orient.
He's an executive. He's an executive in PlayStation.
He is the executive at PlayStation.
Yeah. Okay. But so he said hiatus, but now in this new quote about re-engineering, he says, well, English isn't my first language, so when I said hiatus, I did not mean what you think I mean when I say hiatus, which hiatus to most people means it is put on hold and will likely be canceled.
So he he's just like, get off my balls. Like,
yeah, it'll be, we'll show it when we show it, or we won't. Back
damn
off. Like, yeah, so that's kind of basically what he's just reiterating here, just that it is still in development, but it's got to be a PS4 game at this point, right?
Yeah. Oh, so what this basically means is that guy, I'm totally blanking on his name, the director on this entire series.
Ueda.
Yeah, Ueda leaves the company, and at that point, they make a hard break with everything that he had been doing. Maybe keep some of the tech, but are taking it in a complete different direction? Is that...
Well, they say he's still employed on that title as a freelancer. He quit... He quit Sony, but he's still on contract to finish the game, though. Who knows if he's like maybe once a month he shows
nominal
up and
kind of
or that they
credit.
Yeah, or they just have him down like on paper as like, oh, you're working on this.
It's like a face saving kind of thing.
Yeah, who knows? But I honestly think you should just give up hope on The Last Guardian. Like, well, look, for there's that new game, like Rain. Just you know, play that. That was Trico.
Very different.
We talked about it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
We were disappointed. We were disappointed.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
Okay, well, maybe.
So crazy.
We're in the second segment.
Well, what was that that one that really looked like it was called Rogue or something? The one that was shown at the Gamescom, the new PlayStation indie
Contrast.
Game. Contrast.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No.
Contrast, the one where she becomes a shadow in the wall.
No, no, it's not that one. It was the one that looks like it looked like a Zelda or a Last Guardian game. Like it was all fantasy
moving on.
And stuff.
We have no idea.
Started with
hey,
letter
hey,
R.
Readers. Hey, listeners.
Ricochet? Driving buddies.
How no, you listen- how you driving
no.
buddies?
Retinal? No.
Write in. Correct us. We have no idea. But it, continue with your story. It was a cool story, bro.
I'm done. I was just saying. No, I was just saying.
Glad you're a friend.
There are all these cool games that are inspired by Ueda's mm-hmm. games. So just enjoy those because he's not going to make it.
So
game.
It's kind of no. like a Celine Dion near far.
Excuse me?
Wherever
heart,
you are.
The heart will go on.
The heart will go on.
I just feel like don't look on. Forward to it.
Ueda's
and
heart
if
will
if it
go
does
on.
Come out, you'll be mm-hmm. nice and excited.
Yeah, elated.
That was the strategy for Pokemon XY. I'm like, I'm not going to look forward to it that way.
What?
On wait, day no, of.
That's not a good comparison.
That is a very bleak and sour way to live your life.
Well, now I'm just saying,
I refuse to get
can,
excited.
You can count on a Pokemon game every 2 years like clockwork, like maybe every 3 years. Like, Last Guardian just doesn't, like, you shouldn't have expected it ever. Like,
that, think that of how Lorenzo and I feel about Star Wars Battlefront.
Yeah.
We got a good year and a half before we hear anything from that.
That's a long arse time. Yeah,
no,
it's going to be a great time.
It'll be at E3. You'll see something at
E3. I think
we'll see a new trailer.
Yeah.
And
we'll dissect the crap out of it.
Yeah. It'll be the other leg of
month of your
AT-AT.
More like 3 or 4 months.
3 or 4 months of
tune in
Star
to
Wars
Greg and Lorenzo's Weekly. Star Wars Battlefront Weekly. On
I mean, it's not. You guys are dishing out the good Star Wars info outside of
yeah,
the game as
the
well.
Yeah, it's currently a speculative show.
Yeah.
We're speculating. I mean, we're saying what we want to see.
You're
we're
having
saying
fun.
What we're having a good time.
Yeah. Last time we talked about zombies.
Yeah.
In the Star Wars
potential
universe.
Potential zombie work? Mode. It could.
It could.
It's in the expanded universe.
Is it?
Really?
There are zombies
there
in the expanded
There are several
universe.
Types of zombies,
wow.
too.
Yeah. Are they just being animated by the Force?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
I feel like you could say anything is in the expanded universe, and I believe you. Like,
well, yeah. we have examples.
We've see, done our research,
Henry. The expanded universe is ridiculous.
Joe Schreiber wrote a book called Death Trooper,
Ooh.
And it's awesome. And it's about zombies.
It's about zombies. In space.
I'm kind of happy that the these you know episode 7 is going to erase the expanded universe, and we'll just make it not never
count. Won't erase it in my mind.
Yeah,
there's a lot of cool
Some
stories out there.
Cool stories.
The only
bro.
Star Wars I've ever read is the
True Sabakura.
The Boba Fett.
Who?
The Boba.
The Boba Fett. Boba Fett. The Boba Fett. Where?
Well, that's how Han Solo says it.
I the mean, Boba Fett.
He doesn't say Boba
says
Fett.
Boba Fett.
No, he
Boba
says Fett. Baba.
He goes says Boba Fett. Boba Fett. Where? Turns around, knocks him into
knocks
the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
I was sure he
Boba.
Said Boba Fett.
So
Boba.
I did that one.
Boba Fett.
The Boba one.
The Boba Fett bobblehead.
Yeah, you know the one where it ends with him being
the
like tossed into like a Sarlacc pit?
There's the Tales of the Bounty Hunter series, which tells his tale of how he escaped from the Sarlacc.
So I was the one before that.
So I read a comic book. Wait, how's he, how's he
maybe
get
it was
out
one
of the
after that.
episode
maybe
four,
he ends
five,
up
six.
In the Sarlacc pit a lot.
How does he get
Only
out of
once.
The Sarlacc pit, isn't it?
He uses his jetpack.
Oh, see, I read a comic where he was pulled out of it by the guy who wears the white turban.
Dengar.
Yeah, the Dengar showed up and pulled him out of it. That was
He finds Boba Fett.
It was a rabbit hole.
He finds Boba Fett already outside of the Sarlacc pit.
Oh,
barely alive.
This is a Sarlacc pit.
And then he brings him in.
All right, anyway.
Your
on.
Face
Do you
is
know?
A Sarlacc pit.
My face. I mean...
Don't
no comeback
Star Wars.
For that, Tom. You've just been totally undermined.
You can't mention Star Wars without not have us talk
a
for like
long
10
discussion.
Minutes about it.
Valve Trademarks, Half-Life 3.
Boba Fett.
In Europe.
In Europe.
In
this
Europe.
Is the this is what we've all been waiting for.
Yes. The announcement that they
My
trademarked
this
the
is
game.
Way.
How is it possible that they didn't already have the trademark?
That shocked me.
Yeah.
Is it,
how do they not do it? Like,
is it that they didn't
they
have it in Europe? They
no
already
idea.
Have it here.
I mean, sometimes you'll see where the like it, they tend to they don't trademark things as readily in the U.S. anymore because of dudes like us who are like find
searching
those trademarks
every trademark
very easily. Yeah.
Do they have all of the web domains?
I don't know.
Like Half-Life3.com.
I don't know.
.net.
It's impossible for me to answer that
edu.
Question.
Well, they don't even have Steam.com, for God's sake.
They have Steam Powered.
Steam Powered, yeah.
Anyway, so that happened. But I feel like this is a precursor to the thing that will sell SteamOS, which is a Half-Life 3 exclusive SteamOS. That's what's going to move systems.
That should have been that Friday announcement.
It should have been. It should have been.
Not the owl. Not the barn owl controller.
Not the barn owl.
Yes.
The barn owl was, I don't know, a mistake. So anyway, that happened. Be excited as you will. We have a couple other news stories just to drop their names so that I can tell Cooper I addressed all four. Bad Company will return in future Battlefield games, DICE says.
Neat.
Yeah. Good.
DICE has other things they're working on currently. Star Wars Battlefront.
Battlefield 4? You ever heard of it?
And also Mirror's Edge 2.
Ooh.
All in the pipe.
Well,
all
and
in the pipe.
Don't they do every first-person shooter for EA, basically?
Stockholm? DICE Stockholm?
Yeah, DICE Stockholm does Battlefield.
Well, because they did Medal of Honor as well,
they do,
right?
Well, I mean, Visceral does the Dead Space.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I don't know. Anyway, Shadow of the Eternals put on hold, quote-unquote, after failed crowdfunding campaigns. That is
campaigns? Multiple.
Dennis, uh-huh. Dyack, Travesty.
They couldn't even get 900,000. Like, they thought they'd get $1.5 million.
Losers.
couldn't even get $900,000. $900,000.
I don't know. I honestly, like, I feel like this couldn't have happened to a better person.
I'm kickstarting a new flavor of Scope, and I've already got over $900,000.
I think Dennis Dyack, like, totally burned all. I was one of his former fans.
He's just
burned everybody. Yeah. Like, if they had made good games instead of, like, just shat out X-Men Destiny, like, that was the only... Put out two games on this console generation,
the
Two Human and X-Men
forceful.
Destiny. Like, they both sucked
just
and were
Dennis
full of just lies.
Dennis with explosive diarrhea, and out comes a console game.
And so then he just shows up and, like, hey, we're going to make that Eternal Darkness sequel finally, guys. Give us money, trust us. Like, no, like that. This is why you can't burn the public trust.
Yeah, true,
like
absolutely true.
Meanwhile, Mighty Number 9 ended with
$4 million.
Yeah. Like crazy.
That's a lot of dough.
Star Citizen is over $20 million now.
Well, that's what's weird. Like, I think Star Citizen is showing that Kickstarters aren't the most efficient way to crowdfund because limiting yourself to that 1 month. Uh-huh. Actually prevents people from giving you money in the future.
Well, most of the most successful, like Double Fine with their adventure game, they set up just like, give us money in the PayPal. And you'll pay. Like, most of them do that where they ask
like
for money. Yeah, they just,
campaign.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they also want to reward early adopters.
Right. You know? Yeah, it lets them create all that buzz and excitement. Previews. So Coop has written down Assassin's Creed 4 and Super Mario 3D World. I don't want to talk about those.
No!
I want to talk about Banfuse.
Banfuse?
Banfuse.
We can talk about
that. A little Banfuse.
That was the oddest preview appointment that I've ever walked into and then immediately left because it was just so
You left
odd.
Right away?
I stood there and watched Tom sing like a song.
There's an amazing vine of Tom singing.
I sing. I like to sing.
Oh, at Radio Radar.
I'm not really a great high. Singer.
I love that you strive to hit that acapella.
Yeah. I go for it.
Yeah,
is what they say.
You try to hit the tone.
Yeah, and typically if I'm excited, I can't do it.
Yeah.
I can do it in my car when I'm not
following around.
When it's just like me in the studio.
You still got that pair of high heels in your car?
I do.
That cracks me up every time I get into your car. It's just a black pair of stilettos in the front seat.
Do you assume they're Tom's or another woman's?
I know they're his wife's, but immediately I start thinking of Tom and stilettos.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll wear them one day.
We should all go out to karaoke one night.
Tom brings his stilettos.
For a while now.
Let's get one.
Ryan is a big karaoke guy.
Tom and Drag.
But I don't want to.
I'll wear Drag.
I want us to get a private Japanese style room. I don't want to do it at some bullshit bar.
Korean.
We'll
in
bring
front
in
of drunk
some ladies.
Well, wait a minute.
Of the night?
To swap shoes with?
I thought that's the way you did it.
It's
in the
like,
Korean
get
wars.
Up.
Take my rainbow sandals. I'll have your stilettos leave.
we shouldn't do that. But we should go karaoke because that would be fun as shit.
Yeah.
Also, what's fun as shit, Banfuse. They brought the game by as well as some pizza and beer, which was nice of them.
I mean...
Which it, was nice. It, we were being buttered up, obviously. Yeah,
definitely.
It was successful.
It was, I mean, apparently a giant it
worked.
Party in there.
It worked.
Yeah. You're talking about it.
But in terms of, like, rhythm games and how they've basically just fallen off, like, I can totally see picking up that game and learning the guitar. Like, the way that they...
If you have a guitar already.
If you have a guitar.
An electric guitar.
No, I think you can do...
They have an adapter for an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, like, a $70 adapter.
Yeah. So I think if you... To buy the game, it's like $60, and that comes with an adapter if you already have the guitar. I think they said they were working on a bundle that they'll sell you a guitar for like $200.
Yeah, this is all TBD price points.
You could get a cheap like Epiphone guitar for like I think $160.
They are partnering with a Guitar Center
and Fender.
And Fender, so you can get like 15% off any guitar at Guitar Center.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh wow,
which is huge.
That's pretty cool. Sweet. Yeah,
I think the thing that's coolest though is like the way that they were able to mimic like all these awesome amplifiers.
Yeah.
Was truly astounding. Like the sound was amazing that was coming out of the game. I was not expecting that, and it was just.
And just to be clear, you like these are real guitars. Like, you aren't pressing.
That's the other thing. Buttons. When I was going up there to play, I'm like, look, I don't know how the fuck to do a guitar. And they're just like, look, this is where the top string is. Zero means don't press anything. Four means this is where on the guitar. I was on like the beginner difficulty, and it was like it was hard, but it was doable.
It was satisfying though.
Yeah.
Once you kind of figured it out. See, I didn't get that instruction.
You didn't get it.
I stood there and looked like an idiot just trying to press different buttons, and then I dropped the bass.
And then you drop the bass. You're like, I'm
not
out.
Not in a dubstep type of way.
The strap. The strap came off of the top of the bass, slammed onto the ground. Of course, all of the strings, you know, hit the ground and make a loud, which is also plugged into the TV, which is cranked at full volume.
By the way, I think somebody stole those guitars.
Oh, no, we found them.
No,
okay.
It was OXM.
Yeah.
Those bastards. Stole
them. They took them and hid them so that nobody would steal them.
That's
but we did have a really good caper on our hands all day that I was very excited about. And pissed that it didn't pan out.
Yeah. And the other thing to say about Banfuse is...
Pizza and beer.
Pizza and beer. I don't know. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, no, it's a good game.
I would like to... Can we talk about Nintendo things really
quickly? Oh, yeah. I was just joking.
All right.
I was just joking.
Well, Lucas...
Super Mario 3D World, also a game I don't know anything about. Go.
Lucas and I had a Nintendo tour about.
Yes.
Like, we got to see about 8 different Nintendo games, but 3D World was, I think, the chief among them. Zach also saw it. He wrote a preview about it. But
we did 4-player co-op. The trailer looks
with cat
awesome.
Suits.
So you we... Yeah, so... There was some doubts. I actually wrote I wrote a debate with Dave Houghton about doubts of with Mario 3D World, but other people in the office too after E3 were like, "Eh, 3D World looks kind of lame. I don't know." But then when we played it in the thing, like, and also that most recent trailer for it, like, it looks greatly improved over E3. I still don't know if I look forward to it as much or as like as. It's still not like a new galaxy, I don't think.
No.
But the what we played was a lot of fun. Like,
it was.
Because they had like a lot more crazy shit was going around. Like, especially there was the double cherry, which is every time you grab it, you get cloned once, and you're controlling them.
You
all
like
the
that,
time.
Lorenz.
Sounds like a... Yeah.
Our minds win.
I was just...
You guys.
Just looking across at and
both
Greg's
cherries.
Face just, like, turned red. never mind.
You feel
rare here. The rare double cherry.
Anyway, the double cherry, just you grab it, it makes a double of you. There's like, this gun you... Basically, this, like, cannon that you can run around with. There's this cool silhouette stage that was all, like, in 2D. And it was just a lot of fun. I had a lot more fun with the levels they were showing. Also, the overworld or the world map was like
open. It's open
an
world.
Open, just 3D.
You
world
don't have
you're
to walk
around
on the
in.
Straight lines between levels.
What?
And I think there were secrets hidden there because every time we went to the overworld, they're like, "Okay, can I take the controller back? Let
well,
me lead you straight."
Well,
that's to the
because
level.
It was, I think it was because it was the finished game, and we could start any if you were. Leading the way, you could have played any level, and they had a very set number of levels that you were going to play.
I feel like Nintendo has just gotten so crazy about that kind of thing lately. I don't know if it's lately, but...
No, not lately.
Okay.
No.
Chelsea lately.
They go in and out of that stuff. Of sometimes they're very, like they were
double
mega,
cherry.
They were very relaxed with Wind Waker HD, which I reviewed.
Right.
Like they, I think, is it had been it, like they didn't care about story spoilers because it's been out for old, a yeah. decade. But though the old, I wouldn't have put it past Nintendo to be like, don't reveal any secrets, because I played. I reviewed two Dragon Quest games that Nintendo published, both of which were remakes. The plots were out there, and they still said, like, don't discuss anything that happens past Chapter 4. I was like, but this game's been out for 20 years. Everybody knows what happens in it.
Another thing about the double cherries that Henry did not mention is that so you can get a clone. But if you get another cherry, then you get another clone, so you can have up to four
quadruple
Marios
cherry
jumping around all over.
Quad cherry.
What does that actually do?
So there are like platforms that need a count of a certain amount of weight, character weight on them, and then if you get all your clones, it's like, oh, I have four times the Mario.
I also think like in a, you know,
four times the power.
If you play in one player mode, it lets you get kind of the craziness of multiplayer, but with just you too. So that's what the level designs were pretty neat as well. Like they seemed a lot better, just the platform layout and creativity to it. I also love there are Goombas that are kitty cats. The kitty cat Goombas.
Kitty Goombas.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
they were adorable.
Fuzzy. Exteriors.
Really?
Yeah. It's awesome.
If I had my phone right now, I'd show you guys a picture of my cat.
Also, that's uninteresting.
Only, does he look like a fuzzy Goomba?
he's adorable.
Another cool thing about
the
cat suit is like...
He's no Herman.
He is Herman.
Herman's
the same cat.
They're talking about it.
Your cat has maybe 5 pounds on my cat. No. But they're the same
Herman's
cat.
Probably got like 12 pounds
on
my cat is 16 pounds.
That's heavy. I bet Herman is probably like 15 to 20.
Yeah. No, he is, and he's svelte.
That is huge.
He is
svelte.
He is a muscular, you know.
Oh, Herman is just fat.
Yeah, Herman's actually like, kind of soft.
He is like a blob of a cat.
Yeah. He's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
Anyways, if you ever played Darkstalkers and you know about Felicia's like downward slash,
the weird way
kitty cat costume also sort of does that. So you jump in the air, and then you can press Y, which is typically like fireball. And you'll zoom down to the ground, which is strange.
I had more fun climbing the walls as the cat. Cause
yes.
That opens up so much, like,
and you can climb the
flagpoles.
I like seeing that in the trailer. He, like, doesn't reach halfway up the flagpole and is like, boop, 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 boop. Just goes to the top.
And I did feel slightly competitive with the scores at the end. Like, I actually got kind of like when I lost to you one time, though I beat you. I think it was, like, 2-1
after that.
But... Yeah, I don't know. I felt invested in it. But also, we played Wii Fit U, which looked kind of neat. Yeah. You know? And
Wii Fit.
The pedometer thing was kind of neat for it, the way it works with the pedometer.
Yeah.
To carry the board around.
Yeah, carry the Wii
It's like a little, it's like a Tamagotchi egg.
Good times.
And we played Shovel Knight. That was fun.
Oh, you played Shovel Knight, and I watched on wishing I was. But I was playing Link to the Past, or Link Between Worlds.
Ooh.
And that was awesome.
You know, in Japan, they just call it Link to the Past 2. Like, I don't know why they got to get cute with the name in America.
I don't know. But I actually found the sticking to the wall as a drawing Link.
And
it was pretty cool.
Did you play the tower again? The tower level?
He did the overworld. He didn't do the dungeon
field. I haven't played that yet.
I reached a dungeon and then got stuck because I was like, I don't know what the puzzle elements are. So I couldn't figure it out.
They revealed something that, like, in that game that you get, that you buy, you don't get, like, the boomerang in the dungeons now. You just buy them from a guy.
Yeah, you get it from, what's his name? He's got a shop. It's a shop in the overworld, and
you
rent the items instead of finding in the... No, it's not Tingle. It's
some bunny guy.
All right. Kind of
I'm going to
like
clip
the
this conversation.
Wait, one more thing.
Until...
One more thing. The bombs are unlimited now.
Travel down it.
I think all the items are
unlimited. Until the end of time.
You need to captain this ship.
I'm trying. Bombs are unlimited. Hooray. Did you guys talk about Weak for Men?
We did not talk about
Weak
for Men. Oh, is that what we're moving this into?
Just to close things out.
I don't get to talk about Assassin's Creed at all.
Do you want to?
I played it the single player for like 4 hours.
All right, go. I really... all right,
truncated.
Fine.
If you like Assassin's Creed 2 Brotherhood,
yeah,
you're going to love Black Flag.
But this has pirate ships and stuff.
Yes.
Pirates of the Caribbean plus Brotherhood.
True. It is vast. A vast? Yes.
Oh, damn it.
Pretty much they... If you've ever been on the ocean and the swells of the waves and things like that, they nailed that.
Really?
That feeling.
Really?
Being on a large ship and crashing onto waves. And
so
if
did
you...
Wind Waker.
Bam. Wind Waker didn't have waves.
Yeah, it did.
It did.
They're like knee high to a grasshopper.
Nah, they had waves.
Knee high to a grass.
How insulting.
To grasshoppers. But anyways... So you can like fully upgrade and customize your ship, which is basically your mobile home, essentially.
RV.
Yeah, and it's actually really awesome when you like drop anchor, jump into the water, go onto this tiny island, like find a bunch of little collectibles, and then you look back and your ship is just hanging off, you know, in the water. And it's just like a really cool feeling. You're like, that's mine. That's exactly where I left it. And I could swim way the hell over there, and my ship would still be hanging out.
Mm. Can it get carried away by the...
It cannot, because you are anchored.
Oh, okay.
That's why they invented anchor.
The anchor is actually a modern marvel.
It's gorgeous, though. I was underwhelmed by the underwater aspect of it, because apparently you can only go more than 2 feet underwater in the diving bell areas.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you are stealth swimming, which is like you don't go, really go. Yeah, right. You don't really go underwater.
So when you're underwater, it's like an instance.
So what you're saying is you're disappointed that they didn't model the entire ocean.
Yes. I mean, GTA 5 has done a great job with that.
Yeah,
like,
the coral reef in GTA 5, I was like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that.
Exactly.
I thought it was just going to be a flat
surface. I mean,
surface.
And granted, when you do go down in the diving bell, like, it's a huge area, and it's incredibly detailed and awesome. But, you know, I dove off my ship and just wanted to go down, and I wasn't allowed to. So,
that sucks.
Awesome game, though. Very, very excited about it. It's the new Captain...
Edward Kenway,
is way more charismatic than Connor from Assassin's Creed 3, which is not saying much because Connor is like a brick wall.
Yeah. A pile of wood.
Yeah. But from what I've seen, he is, I can't say as good as Ezio because I haven't seen his full like character development and everything, but he is very charismatic.
Dashing and daring and swashbuckling.
Yeah. And when you're boarding ships, holy shit, that's awesome too. So you can like, all the naval combat and everything is greatly improved from Assassin's Creed 3, which is clearly just a tech demo for Assassin's Creed 4.
Nothing more.
No, I mean, why the hell is a Native American the captain of a ship all of a sudden?
I don't know.
A ship he's probably never stepped foot on before.
That part was definitely like, oh, we have the technology. Let's just do it.
Yeah, it was odd.
Yeah, but boarding other ships is really awesome. You feel the world is very lived in, and I don't know. It's awesome. Look forward to it.
When is it out?
It is out the 29th of October for current gen. 19th, is it the 19th
November?
Of November for PC, and then I don't know.
Probably launch day.
It's a launch title for next gen. Yeah.
So check that out. Week for Men, Road to Gold. We're doing it today. What is today?
Yeah, today.
October 4th, 2013, World Finals between Royal Club and SKT1. Koreans. Koreans and Chinese. We were sorely disappointed by Cloud9, who just fell flat on their faces. We're going to be the next great pro
but
U.S. North American
but
team.
But we got to start somewhere.
Right now, all of us except for Coop are in silver. Coop is, not in silver.
But he's not in gold. He's not in diamond.
So is patriotism part of this then? Are you guys doing this to
It wasn't until I started talking just now. I don't know why I went there. No, we just like playing League, and we're pros. We want to be pros.
And you're weak for men.
And we're weak for men, because if we were strong for men, we'd be playing, you know, real sports. But, you know, we come in under average. Mm-hmm. So we're playing esports. It makes a lot of sense once you think about it. check us out. First game is at 6:30 tonight. We're going to live stream it on Twitch TV / Games Radar. We'll have a shoutcaster. He is as good at shoutcasting as we are at League.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So we'll all be growing together. And
showing and growing.
Showing and growing.
Double cherry.
Double cherry.
so wait, can I be clear here?
What? Yeah.
Are you guys referring to D's?
You don't. What? No.
No.
What?
I don't know what a... I mean, I know what a...
you're showing your...
What are you...
True colors.
Your ignorance here.
What?
He's...
I'm aware of what a cherry is a euphemism for.
Huh?
Okay.
But a double cherry? Is that a thing?
What are you talking about?
Are you so lost?
Weak for men. 6:30 tonight. We'll be live streaming as many games as we can. But we're going gold. We have until October 31st to hit gold.
And then we get rewards, a.k.a. a champion Elise.
Elise.
Wow.
Woo.
Snooze fest.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No,
Lorenzo and Greg and Henry could not care the less about
idea what the you guys are talking
about. Funniest thing
at
about
all.
This Week for Men story is we've written a couple League stories in the past, esports stories. They've done terrible.
Yeah.
They've tanked. They've got no engagement, traction. No comments. We already have 76 shares on Week for Men.
Yeah. So. Some of our driving buddies are driving themselves off cliffs right now. If we talk about League anymore.
I'm just happy with this top comment right now from, what's his name? Extrapolopodomotomus.
Nice.
That's not it.
Sounds right.
Something like that. I'm a little let down by this.
So, I did not know there was anything to expect.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's Week for Men, as well as everything else that we talked about. I guess it was interesting, or, you know. Marginally interesting compared to Week for Men, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, we will be taking a break now. And when we return, when some of us return, when Lorenzo returns, he'll have.
I'll be on the other side.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Greg will
it's
be on the other side.
It's called the community segment.
It's called the community segment.
You ever heard of it?
You guys forgot the most important community segment of all. Talking about Week for Men. You forgot.
I didn't forget.
You consciously.
You fucked up is what you did.
You screwed up.
Anyway, we will we'll be right back.
Sayonara.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to segment 3.
Woo!
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into it. We have reviews of Rain and Pokemon. Let's start with Rain.
Okay.
All right.
That's our review of Rain.
Okay. It was okay.
It was wet.
I know nothing about this game. For somebody in this game, in this industry, I know zero about this game.
Yeah, really? And I did too going into it, which for a lot of games, I think it helps you knowing nothing going into it. But this one, honestly, either way, it didn't matter. It was kind of... So I ended up giving it a 3.5.
Okay.
No, fuck. I think I gave it a 3.
That's fine. Shit. You gave it a 3 or a 3.5.
Okay, yeah, 3 or 3.5. Because it had a lot of really good ideas, but it just felt like the director was like, this is the only thing I'm ever going to make, so I should put all of my ideas in this.
So my question is,
yes,
is it an MMORPG, a first-person shooter, or a 2D platformer? Because I seriously have no idea what it is, and I need you to get to that before you tell me why it sucks.
Or is it like
all three?
Yes. I'll say it's like a arcade platformer puzzler type of thing.
Okay,
that isn't really any of those genres.
It's in my head right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you ever played like any of the Tales of games, and it was like cutesy little puzzles that lasted maybe 35 seconds. That was kind of the entirety of the game.
Okay,
nothing challenging at all. More in it for the plot. Which is a little convoluted. Mm. It was kind of felt like you know, the plot was very metaphorical, and if you didn't get the metaphor, then you were left with nothing.
Mm.
And I didn't get the metaphor, so you know, it was these two children, and what happens?
That was Dear Esther for me.
Yeah,
I played through Dear Esther, and at the end, I'm like, So what was I supposed to have gained from that?
Yeah. And then you'd like try to pretend you're cool and like talk with all your friends who actually might have gotten the
medal. Yeah, and
you.
I'm like, no. Oh yeah, totally. Esther was just a jackass.
So the point of the game is that you're a boy in his own world, and something, I don't know what, pulls him out of his bed, and you're trapped in this weird kind of alternate reality of your city where you're invisible, and when you're in the rain, you're seen. And so it's kind of this like cat and mouse of being invisible and being seen by this really antagonistic just thing that never gets explained, just follows you around. You find this nice
girl.
Is
this game Limbo?
Right. Right.
Because that's you might as well have just described Limbo and the thing is a giant spider.
Kind of feels like Limbo, yeah.
Yeah, I so you find this girl, and she might or might not be sick. She coughs, and that really never amounts to anything.
Is this Limbo?
Right. Maybe because she's out in the rain.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're barefoot in the rain, and they're huddled and scared, and you're like, man, I'm real sorry about this. I wish I could fix this. But you play through the game. I don't want to spoil the ending.
So, I'd really rather you not.
Yeah. Well, there's
how long is it? Spoil.
5 hours, maybe.
Okay, and you gave it a...
3 or 3.5.
You gave it a 3.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
out of 3?
Out of 3. So you were bouncing between those scores? Yeah.
Well, so it's, I really wanted to be harsher with it. Because, you know, when you finish a game and it's not what you expect and you're like, oh, like, I want to give that a 1.
Yeah.
I had to, like,
Jurassic Park the game.
I had to step back and reassess. And some people will like the game because it's a broad metaphor, and I had to realize that. I didn't like it, but I like being held. Generally and through games.
Should we hold hug me after this?
I mean, I'm looking at Metacritic. It looks like most people agree. It's like 73 on Metacritic. So you're not far away from that medium. Slant Magazine gave it a 30%.
Yeah, if I reviewed it right after I finished it, I probably would have given it a 2.5.
There's a lot of people gave it around there. You're among friends with a Eurogamer Joystick and The Escapist at a 3 and Game Informer. So, Rain. It's a game where you cry. also, next review, I reviewed Pokemon X and Y.
Woo!
Put about 35 hours into it so far.
Holy.
And so the funny thing is, so Henry was supposed to review it, but he was in Japan, and the embargo was a lot earlier than we thought.
And he
so,
wept.
So, not trying to give you too far behind the scenes thing, but we ended up having we had enough time to review it, but it ended up being me. So
created a tsunami of tears.
Well, I mean, it was a few across days after I got back from Japan, and after I said I'm like, yeah, I can take it. I'm like, I was really going to appreciate that weekend to get fixed of my jet lag, but.
Nope.
I was not upset with that time. Really enjoyed the game. The jump to 3D made the game made Pokemon a visually impressive title where that has never been a thing.
Like 3D graphics, not the
3D. Well, 3D graphics. 3D. The 3DS 3D. That's the weirdest thing. So I love 3DS 3D. I'm a fan.
Right.
In some battles, it works. Other times, when I say works, I don't mean like has a cool effect. Like the 3D slider is disabled for a majority of the game.
Really?
In the open world, 3D slider does nothing. Hmm. You can put it up and down, doesn't do anything. Some battles, it's just randomly disabled. Some dungeons, it works. Some, it doesn't. Some scenes are 3D, and then like a few seconds later, they're not.
I didn't know that at all.
Apparently, the developers were like, well, we were reaching technical problems because of the game being so big and stuff. And it's like, you're Nintendo. This is your hardware.
Yeah. That was actually during my interview with Masuda and Yoshida. That was like the one time they expressed weakness. Was I was like, what were some challenges moving? And he was like, man, it was real hard. And we missed a lot of deadlines.
I honestly feel like this game feels like it was probably rushed.
Mm-hmm.
The localization is fine in terms of like there aren't like errors. Mm-hmm. But it's... It sounds like they had, like, a few weekends to do all of the dialogue. Because, like, Pokemon, and it almost in some ways is, like, sort of a throwback to the original. Because in the original, characters would just say the most ridiculous shit to you.
Yeah.
And in this one, there's a point late in the game.
Are you a boy or a girl?
Late in the game, there's a character that when you talk to them, the trainers will just say random stuff before they fight you. Uh-huh. He says something to the effect of, have you ever heard of Pokemon? And then the battle starts. And it's like, I have, like, 6 gym badges. Yeah. If you like, if you throw a stone, you're going to hit a Pidgey. What do you mean, have you heard of Pokemon? Like, there's a lot of characters that just say random things, and it ends up being, I think they end up relying a little bit on, like, kind of being extra silly or making, like, there's some meme jokes.
I had a tuna salad before lunch. Let's fight.
I mean, that's actually, like, that's not even an exaggeration. Like, there's a character who goes, like, once you beat him, he's just like, your Pokemon level must be over 9,000. And it's like, that's just kind of, like, that's a very good sign of we have very little time to make this work. There is some very good writing in it.
Yeah.
Just, it's, most of it is later in the game. The beginning of the game's writing is very, I'll say, very weak, and then it ends up getting kind of strong at parts. I'll also say that I don't think I'm allowed to talk much about in terms of plot stuff, but I'll say that I think the game has a weaker post-end game stuff than Black and White did and some of the other ones. I don't know how much stuff there is to really do, because in Black and White, you essentially, there was another game.
Yeah.
This one, I feel like it's, I'm worrying that I'm running low on things to do, besides doing the obligatory playing with friends and stuff.
I think I am spoiled by Black and White, because that storyline was very, very good.
That's, and honestly, Black and White is the reason that I ended up giving this game a lower score than a lot of other outlets. I gave it a 4 out of 5 instead of a 4.5, because Black and White was probably double the size of this game. Has double the, I don't know exactly how many new Pokemon there are, but Black and White had all new Pokemon, had like 100 new ones or something. And the end of the game doubled the length of the game, and the writing was amazing.
It was.
Until late in the game, when they just kind of decided to cop out of half of the things they were talking about.
And it was just like, never mind.
But Black and White in general showed story-wise how high Pokemon could get without breaking away from what makes Pokemon so entertaining. And this game doesn't do that. It does a lot of cool things. It makes a lot of cool changes. The change to EXP share is the single smartest thing they could have done. In the other games, it's like you have EXP share, you put it on a Pokemon. Every battle, you split experience with that Pokemon, with the person who fought and that one. This one, it's just like, from now on, the Pokemon who fights gets half the experience. Everyone else splits the rest.
Wait, is it not an item that you get?
It is an item, but you don't equip it to somebody. You just
all
turn it on.
All of your other Pokemon get
in your party.
I don't know. Is that better? Because I remember I used to, you know, raise Pokemon from eggs, slap them with an EXP share, and then they would, like, really.
So now what you can do is you can give them a lucky egg, which boosts their experience as an item. You can use Pokemon Ami, which is a new thing in the game, which is you actually go and play with your Pokemon, pet them, feed them, play mini games with them, which levels up their affection, and higher level affection guys get more experience. They also dodge attacks in battles, crit more, and will just shrug off effects. Like, there's a time I had a Pokemon who somebody tried to use a sleep on him, and it was just like, he doesn't want to disappoint you, so he just doesn't fall asleep. And then he got hit, went to one hit point, and it's, he's toughing it out to show you how strong he is, gets hit again, does not die, and it says he's still toughing it out to show you how strong
he is.
That's
so cute.
That stuff that wouldn't, it doesn't happen in multiplayer as far as I can tell.
Okay.
But in terms of single player, it's like, it finally fulfills the idea that the friendlier you are with your Pokemon, the better they are in battle.
That's sort of the biggest
change in this game, and I think it's a brilliant new mechanic. I think the thing that, if they wanted to focus on that, that would bump this to a 9 for me, or a 10 theoretically, is if that was more fleshed out. Like, right now there's 3 mini games. They're like, one's a puzzle swap game, one's a bouncing a ball game, and one's a like dragging food to different people game. That's it. I feel like if it was almost like full blown Nintendogs down there,
like
with like
Monster Ranchers,
yeah, like a really full fleshed out game that changed them, that would be something. But I mean, some people may complain that would take too much away from it, but I feel like that could probably be integrated really well. I mean, you essentially have that. It's like almost like a Tamagotchi you'd have with you at all times.
Good times.
Super fun game. Everything's streamlined. Like, if you want to if you want to trade Pokemon with a friend, you just, on the bottom screen, it'll say, like, your friend's nearby. You tap a button. You click trade. It opens up the trade menu. You just trade with them. It's not like you go to a building. You go inside.
Really?
You just open up an interaction. And then once the trade's over, it's just like, all right, do you want to battle? Like, there's a bunch of different options of what you can do once you're connected to them. Super seamless. Voice chat. Like, it all works
that's
great.
That's so cool.
It's the most advanced game. And I think my main thing I want to say about it is, like, it's they added a lot of new stuff, like Mega Evolutions, Horde Battles, Sky Battles, all these new things. None of the new things are all that great. They're all just okay. The greatest success in this game is fixing a lot of problems you probably didn't think were huge problems before, but now you'll never be able to go back. Like, they've improved a ton of mechanics and added a few middling ones.
Okay.
So, worth getting if you're a Pokemon fan. Worth getting even if you aren't, because every Pokemon game, it might as well be the first one you play. I still feel like this game needs, the Pokemon series needs to add, like, one, needs to add the ability to, like, scan a Pokemon to see their type.
That's the point of the Pokédex.
Yeah, like,
the point of the game.
In the show, it's like, what's that Pokemon? Pulls out a Pokédex. That's a Gengar. It's ghost.
Gengar.
I'm like, all right.
It's a ghost Pokemon.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, okay, now I know how to approach this. Game just needs, like, when you're
in
battle.
Hundreds of episodes.
When you're in battle, the bottom screen just needs a button that says, like, Pokédex, and you need to tap it, and if you've already fought that Pokemon type, it should just give you the Pokedex entry. That's all it needs to do. And if you haven't fought it, it's just like, I don't know, it's fucking random Pokemon. Like, once it adds that, Pokemon will just be infinitely better, because there are 700 Pokemon and maybe 200 or 300 of them actually look like the type they are. Yeah.
Well, they just need to push that theming. Like, we talked about how, like, maybe kids would, like, write the Pokedex.
Yeah, that's something.
Which is really cute.
I read, like, somebody, it was, like, sort of a meme where it was, like, some of the Pokedex entries sound like they were written by children. Like, Machamp, his description is, like, Machamp's entire body is muscle. He could curl 100 grown-ups at a time. or Magikarp flops around. He jumps so high, he could probably jump over a building. It's like, those sound like they were written by 10-year-olds. And the plot of Pokemon is 10-year-olds are going around and writing the Pokedex. So I almost feel like the next game needs to rewrite all the Pokedex entries to make them sound like they were written
That'd
by children.
Awesome.
And make it so you can scan Pokemon, and then everything will just be great.
Perfect.
So that's it for the reviews. Check out reviews of so many games in the coming weeks. Things are about to go cray.
It's about to get cray. Yeah.
It's about to get cray. So
50 Shades of Cray. That's my favorite cray joke. So one of my driving buddies out there is giggling to himself.
What is that?
You've Have you never, not heard that before?
This is the first time you've heard the amazing community segment jingle created by
LJ Rivarola.
Yeah, LJ Rivarola. Should we play it again for Zach?
I'm trying to figure out why there's a weird...
It's so defeated.
I'm trying to figure out why there's like a humming noise.
There's 14,000 bees. Yeah. About to enter the room.
Is it your cell phone?
Radio.
Is it off?
There you go. Yeah. You're good.
Anyway, so yeah, that's the community segment jingle.
All right, let's see. Last week's question of the week is, what were you hoping Valve would announce? We had some good answers, and I'll read off a few.
All right.
The ambivalent cantaloupe said... As someone who's interested in building my own computer for gaming and knowing Valve would likely announce hardware, I was hoping that Valve would announce hardware that would make it easier to start PC gaming for someone who has never had a gaming PC, much less built a gaming PC. However, after the announcements, I'm not sure if I should wait to see these Steam machines or not.
Air quotes.
Valve left the Steam machine discussion a little too murky.
Yeah, every one of their posts... Like, they posted three things, and everyone was, I'll say, poorly... It did a bad job of conveying what they were trying to sell.
Yeah.
Like, the first one was like, Steam OS, it's Linux, you install it, have fun. And it's like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? And it's like, Steam machines, they run that thing!
They learned nothing from Microsoft.
No, and it ended up... Except for the fact that people gave them the benefit of the doubt every time, where it's like, Steam machines, it's a sticker we're going to put on boxes that play Steam games. Go get one.
But
I was
really
what are you talking about?
I really like ambivalent cantaloupe's answer, because if they lowered the bar of entry for building your own PC and hardware, that'd be really cool.
Make it like
someone.
A Lego set. Yeah. It's just like the graphics card clicks in here.
I mean, it already could add
to
full.
I know, but you still have to figure out the mother. They need to come up. Really they need hard. To essentially release cases with the motherboard and hard drives already in. Everything else is just plug in and push it in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those
or
are the parts
you could
that are kind of
difficult. Ryan Talzenik's.
Build it guide
for gaming PCs.
He could. It's on PC Gamer shelves.
in stores and airports now.
Yeah.
let's see. Next, we have Spieg 89. I wanted Valve to announce Half-Life 4. Half-Life 3 is so 3 years ago.
It is.
And I hope they would announce that Gordon Freeman would be wearing Arnett sunglasses exclusively here on out. Let's see. Bob 101.
We need an Arnett sound effect, not jingle. Should it be the, oh, putting on the glasses from Who Are You?
That would be good.
All right. I need to work on that one.
Okay.
Hold on. This is the best I have. Oh, it's not working. That is the Arnett sound effect.
Boo Bob 101 or Bob Ob. B-O-B-O-B.
Bob-Ob.
Bob-Ob. I happen to like the old mouse keyboard scheme, but the problem is that it almost always has to be attached to the computer you're using. However, if Valve followed the example of a specific innovator, I'm sure they could make quadrillions. I'm speaking of Tony Stark. What Valve should have done is make holographic keyboards like an Iron Man. Obviously, that's ridiculously high-tech and not going to happen anytime soon unless you bring in one element, Arnett sunglasses. If, and this is a gigantic if, Valve and Arnett would team up so that we could have holographic projecting sunglasses, I believe we're looking at bazillions of dollars. Balls in your court, Gabe.
Balls in your court, Gabe. Indeed.
And our winner for this week, because you'll find out why, Stray Gator, takes us on a little narrative journey. So let's see. He says, 9/25, 2013, 10 a.m., Bellevue, Washington. Having announced their own OS and hardware, Valve uncovers their latest technology, the Woolpaw Field, allowing them to incorporate unprecedented gameplay experiences to the yet unannounced upcoming games. They also declare that in order to realize its full potential, they have no choice but to secede from the established gaming industry. Minutes later, Valve's HQ building detaches from the ground, slowly rising into the clouds, not to be seen again for decades. The year is 2092. A fallen wheeled desk is found high in the Alps, leading to the discovery of several games, mostly Source multiplayer mods and derivative top-down shooters. It also contains what seems to be the concept art for a possible Half-Life sequel. December 31st, 2094. Valve emerges from isolation and brazenly showers New York City with copies of Left 4 Dead 3. Fans are infuriated. Too soon! The end. Congratulations, Stray Gator. You won yourself something awesome from the giveaway pile. You get to drink from the fire hose. Does anybody know that reference? Weird Al's movie? No? Really? Okay. Somebody out, one of my driving buddies out there just went, I get you, Greg. So Stray Gator, congratulations. Contact me, Greg H., at gamesradar.com, and you've won yourself something cool, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh, and now we have Deals of the Week.
Take my advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
Is that expression happiness or confusion?
This is all wincing, brand new for Zach. Wincing. He's hearing all of these for the first time.
Oh, wait. We also have a correction.
Corrections.
You screwed up.
I've heard that, and I love that.
Okay.
We aren't using the top seven one for this week.
We'll need to for next week.
We got a top seven jingle, and we're going to use it next week. All right? So I apologize that it's not in this one.
Deals real quick.
Look forward to it.
Batman Arkham Origins pre-order, including the Deathstroke DLC, and $10 of Amazon credit on Amazon. WWE 13 is $20 on Amazon. Bioshock Infinite used is $15 on Gamefly.
Ooh, not bad.
Borderlands 2 for Xbox 360 on the Microsoft Store. And Gears of War Judgment and Dead Island Riptide are both cheap on Gamefly.
Cheap.
Yeah. Call of Duty bundle through Stack Social, $39.99 for a whole bunch of Call of Duty games. Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 2, Black Ops, bunch of DLC packs. There's a notonsteam.com is a bunch of indie games that aren't available on Steam yet. And a certain Star Wars Jedi Knight Jedi Academy is $5 on Gamersgate.
I love
Jedi Academy.
I think Outcast is better than Academy. But we can have this debate on another day.
I agree, but I'd say that it's negligible, and Academy lets you make your own character, which is cool.
When you're not playing as Kyle Katarn, you might as well just go blow yourself.
Wow.
Okay.
That's true.
Damn it.
Kyle Katarn.
New question of the week?
Yeah.
All right. So I talked a lot about Assassin's Creed 4, Black Flag,
set in
the Caribbean. What setting would you like Assassin's Creed 5 to be set in?
I'll go first. The Old West.
Damn you!
I'm just kidding.
You mean Red Dead Redemption.
That's exactly why I wanted
the
Old West, because I've been playing Red Dead Redemption because I was playing GTA 5 recently. I'm like, I remember the shooting being a lot better in Red Dead, so I was trying it out. And I'm like, man, I love open world Wild West games.
Yeah. What would you have to climb onto? I guess you could like climb cliffs and stuff.
There were little shitty buildings. There were as many buildings in the Old West as there were in 1775 on the East.
That's true.
You could go through forests. You could climb on stagecoaches and trains and stuff.
Here's the thing you have to remember. Anytime you've ever played a video game that takes place in the Old West,
it's like desert.
They've been like, all right, here's a city. And it's been like an RPG city where there's like five buildings. Yeah. But there's a small city. Like, there'll be like 100 buildings, which is enough for an Assassin's Creed town to run around in.
Yeah, you won't just be climbing cacti. You know what I'm saying?
All right. That would be
that's
painful.
Mine.
I know that it's played out in terms of people asking for it, but I would like to see, like, somewhere in Asia. I don't think it has to be. Maybe, like, feudal Japan era, which is, I mean, that's sort of cliche for this, but. Or Ninjas. Even, like, maybe, like, China. Like, some kind of Asian area would be cool.
I actually would say Vietnam. Because I think that, like, there's, you know, with the...
He has a helmet that says Born to Assassinate on it and a peace sign. But the peace sign has the fucking Assassin's Creed logo in the middle instead of the peace symbol.
We already have it right here. But for Assassin's Creed 3, it was like, who's the good guy, who's the bad guy? And I think in Vietnam, there are a lot of easy themes.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it'd be really cool.
I would be interested to see, like, a medieval, like, knights in armor and riding horses kind of thing, castles and shit.
So
it's pretty
so
close.
So essentially, I was gonna say between Assassin's Creed 1 and 2, time wise, set in England.
Yes,
I think we need to get more modern.
Old
Greg.
London,
yeah,
get more modern.
I don't know what would more
I mean, honestly, Watch Dogs. They could have made Watch Dogs an Assassin's Creed
it
game
could,
with
yeah.
like barely any changes.
Yeah, but that doesn't.
It might still
that doesn't
be
excite
one.
Me. Like Watch Dogs, I was super excited about Watch Dogs when I first saw the trailer. The more I see about that game, the way less I'm excited.
I'm super excited
about it.
For it.
I'm with you, Greg.
Ubisoft knows how to make an open world game better than probably anyone, except Rockstar. But they know how to make them, and I trust that they will make this one good. My only fear is, like, whenever they show off his hacking powers right now are make pylons raise out of the road and turn off the lights. And it looks like that might be the only things he can do.
And, like, go and look through a camera eye
at somebody, like, masturbating
on
the chair.
Yeah, in their apartment, which is weird.
Yeah. So be sure to answer the question of the week in the comments below, and shoot us a message on Twitter at GR Radio Radar. Follow us on Facebook. Go to YouTube.com/GamesRadar and watch all of
our live streams.
Do it.
Wednesdays 3 to 5 Pacific Standard Time, and Tuesday nights Games Radar's After Hours.
I'm streaming that one. That's me next week. I have no idea what I'm playing. People keep asking me to play more Kerbal.
It's going to be 9 to 11 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to play more Kerbal right now. Kerbal is difficult, and I've sort of capped out on how much I think I'm ever going to be able to succeed in that.
The learning curve is fun to watch.
Yeah,
but
now that I know.
Yeah.
When we live streamed it that one time and you just left in the middle of it and I had to take over, I was just like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah, let me know on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Hollander Cooper. Let me know what you want me to stream. And I probably will do it because I have no idea. Maybe I'll do Rogue Legacy. That game is fun as hell.
Oh, I haven't played that yet.
Lucas did Rogue Legacy.
Fuck. I need to stop playing Rogue Legacy just because it's going to come out on Vita and you have to start over anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk to you next week.
See you driving, buddies.
God.